This is April the 14th, Maundy Thursday. The Gospel today is John 13, starting at verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not every one was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Jesus then said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you: love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." In my mind for Maundy Thursday, there are two headline concepts: servanthood and forgiveness. Servanthood and forgiveness. Those two concepts are absolutely vital for the Christian to grow and for the body of Christ to grow. Many, many people believe all things that are necessary, and they believe them sincerely, but they still don't develop these two attitudes, these two outlooks, and it results in stunted discipleship and an ailing church. It's hard for us to grasp how disturbing it was for the disciples to have Jesus wash their feet. In John 13, you say that Jesus showed them the full extent of his love. He took off his outer garments, wrapped a towel around himself, took a basin of water, and washed their feet. He was taking on the role of a slave, not a servant, a slave. Now, possibly an honoured guest would have his feet washed. But not everybody. No wonder Peter rebels. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answers, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. God bless Peter. Jesus answered, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean. What he was saying here is that before you set out to your host for dinner, well, you would bathe. But you walked, and your feet got dirty, and they really needed to be washed. In verse 10, Jesus answered, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. We, as Christians, are cleansed by the Lord Christ. But as we travel through life, well, we sin. What does the scripture say? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We sin. We need continued cleansing. But if we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive our sins and cleanse us, wash us from all unrighteousness. We need continued cleansing. Now, this isn't for eternal life. It doesn't mean that every time I sin, I lose my salvation. No, I have eternal life in Christ. What is being addressed here is the cleansing needed for our daily discipleship. And so we read again in John 13, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. The streets they walked on were filthy. The dirt on their feet was equally so. Very offensive. We are to serve each other, says Jesus, by cleansing and forgiving each other. Never forget servanthood and forgiveness. We are to serve each other by cleansing and forgiving each other. And Jesus says we are blessed if we do this. It's a beatitude. We are supremely blessed. Now, this whole incident of foot washing explains the origins of the word maundy in Maundy Thursday. It comes from the Latin for mandate, mandamus. That's an order, a commandment. And so Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Notice what he says, you must love one another. It's not optional. You must help each other. You must minister to each other. You must forgive each other. It's quite simple. If we don't do this, we will not grow as disciples. Now, I'm not talking numbers here. I'm not talking the size of the budget. What I'm talking about here is something infinitely more important: closeness to Christ, knowledge of Christ. Paul writes to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? He's saying, you're spiritually immature. You're babies. And you're babies because you are not serving and forgiving each other. Now, I want to repeat this idea that outwardly such a church can look very successful. They'll have numbers, they'll have activity. Oh, they look like the greatest thing since sliced bread. But Jesus, when he looked at such a church in Revelation, passes a devastating judgment. He says to this church, you have a name for being alive, but you are dead. Dead to me. You glorify yourself. You don't glorify me. We are called above all else to be like Jesus, like him as he was on this earth. Well, what did he look like that we are to imitate him? A very wonderful piece of scripture in the second chapter of Philippians lays this out in an unforgettable way. Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Servanthood. Dear people, servanthood. He goes on, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. And then he says, your attitude, the way you think, the way you live, the way you shape your life should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. We are to grow in knowledge and in the qualities of the Lord Christ. Pray then for a servant heart, for a forgiving heart, for a humble, submitted heart to the will of God. For then and only then will the Lord be glorified. Then and only then will we grow as disciples. Then and only then will we grow as a church that God meant the church to be. So let it be in us. Amen.